Yes, we haven't had any meetings since January of 2018, which is...
But when we do, they're fine.
Yes. So, Anne, do you see any, I don't see any problems with the...
I do not see any problems with this.
I know you guys weren't here, but it looks, when I looked them over at my office, they look good. So, if you would like to make a motion?
I will make a motion to please accept the approval of the minutes from January 23rd, 2018.
Any second?
Second.
All right, Commandy, second.
We're going to get along.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. The next is old business. I don't think we have any old business. Do we have any? No, I didn't think so. Because like I said, we haven't had anything for a year now, so...
But I'll add in, when we do, it's fine.
Oh, yeah, we've had some saucy meetings.
Yes.
Very saucy meetings, but we're good right now. So we'll move on to new business. And the new business, the first thing is the election of officers. We're supposed to do that every January. However, this January, we didn't have a meeting, so it was postponed to this month. So we need to select a chairman and a vice chairman. And I guarantee you, one person sitting here is going to turn it down.
I'll do vice.
You'll do vice?
I'll do vice.
Okay. Anybody want to make up? You see over on the where it says members in attendance, you got Peter, who is the chairman. You got Tony, who's the vice chairman. You have myself and Ann Brodsky. We were all, there's five of us, aren't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bryant was absent.
Bryant was absent. So those are the actual official five members of the board.
Just as a sidebar, did we say Peter is having challenges?
Yes.
Okay.
I would just note that Mr. Humphreys has been here every time we've met. That's my contribution.
He does hold that gavel quite well.
I was the chairman for like 7 years.
I know.
That's a good reason for you to do that.
I gave it up, but okay.
I would like to nominate my dearest Mr. Humphreys as
anybody
want
a second?
I'll second.
Good job.
Just keep seconding.
Catch on fast.
Yeah, that's good job. Yes.
I just see that you just keep.
All in favor for Harry Humphreys being elected to chairman, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. How about vice chairman? I would like to make...
I will accept it this
year. I would like to make a motion to accept Ann as vice chairman. Anybody want a second?
Second that.
Aye. Any seconds?
Thank you. Thank
all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. We have a new chair and a new vice chair. Hopefully we'll have an exciting year last year.
Now I have something to report next year.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
But you know, in many ways, like I know it sounds really silly, but in many ways I think it's fabulous that we don't have cases. Because that's showing that things are really moving. There's not that backhanded stuff happening, and people are actually following the law.
Well, you know, John Batson does an excellent job when it comes to being a building inspector and advising people.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, look, you know, I can honestly tell you that during the period of time that I've been on the board, which has been 14 years maybe. We've had hearings, but we've only allowed a couple of variances. So I think we're a tough board. We're a fair board, but we're tough. And people...
Research.
People get to know that. People get to see that, and they say, "Okay, we don't. You know, if we really have a legitimate reason, then come forward to us and sit down and talk." So that's why we probably don't have as much business as other boards have. I know the county has them all the time. I think the town of Carolina does.
Carolina, I think they have a lot of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, the next order of business is the annual report. And the basic annual report is haven't had, we didn't have any cases come up in 2018.
And you've got a draft copy of the last page of your packet.
Well, thank you.
Well, thanks, Ms. Kathleen. She's willing to put it together.
Yes, okay. As required by the Board of Adjustment Rules of Procedure, information that we provided, Bowler was elected chairman, Gerby was elected vice chair, council approved the appointment of Randy as an alternate member, and the Board of Adjustment currently stands at 5. Wow. And with 2 alternates. Mm-hmm. That's sweet. Mm-hmm. That is definitely sweet. No cases were submitted to the Board of Adjustment during 2018. We held no training sessions during 2018, and we adopted changes to the rules of procedure on January 23rd, 2018. Could you?
Do you want to see a copy of them?
Bring me up to speed on that.
If you look at your minutes on page 3, it summarizes what the amendments were.
The tightening of the text, the changing the titles.
Yes, okay.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Only meet months when there are cases heard. Okay.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So we tightened up on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, syntax, change Kathleen's title to clerk, and eliminated the need for notices of cancellation by adopting a regular meeting schedule for those months when there are cases to be heard.
Yes, and that's always the 4th Tuesday. Mm-hmm. When the cases be heard. And Kathleen's really good about getting out information to everybody, so you know in advance what to expect.
So we haven't had a training since
2017.
Well, before we move on to that, you might want to entertain a motion to approve the annual report.
Thank you.
Yes.
Motion.
You make a motion, Ann?
I do.
Second. Randy? Okay. All in favor of...
I'll sit over there next time.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Moving on to the training schedule for 2019. We didn't have any in 2018, but we did. The last ones were, we had, I think, 2 mm-hmm. or something. In
the yeah, seven. Maybe, perhaps. It doesn't, we can do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to recall what's coming down the line. I know that they're making a lot of changes in P&Z. So I'm just curious if it's anything we need to be updated on. So maybe what I'll do is I'll just go look in City Hall and just look at them.
Well, we can discuss. PZC's actions during 2018 do not necessarily foreshadow any Board of Adjustment matters.
Okay.
And I'll be glad, to the best of my recollection, describe the PZC's activities currently in the past year. But because they don't necessarily impact on your all's jurisdiction, why don't we go ahead and finish the discussion on training before we have open it up to review the current status of Planning Zoning Commission. With respect to training, I can just, I'll mention a couple of things. I don't have anything new to offer, primarily because there's nothing new to offer. I mean, the statutes are the same. Mm-hmm. The case law is the same. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is the way a quasi-judicial proceeding is conducted has not changed over the past 10 years. So for those that have, and there's no sense in reinventing the wheel, particularly when I have a short PowerPoint, and particularly when I can raid Belleville's zoning ordinance, which has a very good, and you might recall, two or three pages of how to conduct a quasi-judicial hearing. So there's no need for me to reinvent that wheel. Now, I'll be glad to, and why do I say that? Because for the members that have had it before, if we do it again, it'll be somewhat redundant. But given the span of time, perhaps that redundancy is okay. More to the point, the alternates have not had that training, and it may be useful for them. If we're going to do some training, it, for all those reasons that I've just said, it's probably more efficient to just pull out those things and have a standard training rather than try to, particularly given my schedule from now until the end of April, try to cobble together a hypothetical situation and bring it to you all. Again, the alternate members probably would have more benefit with reviewing the process in general before we even went through an exercise like that. I can't remember. I was, you seem familiar. Were you on the board before?
No.
Can't, maybe I just remember you for some meetings in PZC or council. But why don't we hear from the alternates? Because you could easily be sitting in those seats again if something does
That's
come up.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's very possible that you may be filling in for.
Do you have anything that you could just like email to us so we could read? Or
yeah, that's in the abstract. I'd be glad to do it, but
or it wouldn't mean that much to us just reading it, or.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you know what I mean when I say quasi-judicial?
No.
Okay. Do you?
To an extent.
That's why I say quasi-judicial is a different. I'll be glad to email it to you, but it would be an abstract concept for you to digest, and I don't.
Okay. So would you mean that much to me without explanation?
Not necessarily, but I think explanation would enhance the meaningfulness of it for you.
Okay.
But I'll be glad to provide it to you. But it might be worthwhile to go through that again. And particularly, I've got to pull out the same training session for Carolina Shores for a session in March 21st. So if I'm going to pull it out for them, go ahead and pull it out for you. But to give you all some flavor, you're familiar with public hearings, for example. Okay, public hearings are simply public comments about something that a decision-making body is considering and will act upon, rezoning, things of that nature. But your all's function deals with, two things, variances and appeals of of zoning interpretations or decisions. So if somebody got a citation for
offense, that's easy enough.
For offense that was too high when the code specifies, Chapter 19 specifies the height. If the owner of the property disagreed with that citation, even if it wasn't monetary, even if it was just a notice of violation, they have the right under the statutes and under the code to appeal that decision to you all. Likewise, if the fence height was 5 and somebody hadn't built their fence yet, but they had reasons that they thought were sufficient to warrant a variance from that height restriction so they could go higher, they could seek a variance from that regulation. And again, that's your all's jurisdiction. One of them requires a supermajority vote. I believe it's a variance. I'd have to go back and look at that. One of them only requires a majority vote, but the difference, not between those two, but between a quasi-judicial and a public hearing, is easy to say, and after 30 years, I've rarely, this board does it right, but I've been to some big counties and some big cities, and it's just, they don't know what they're doing. And you got to cut them some slack. I mean, you all are lay people. But the bottom line is this. Quasi-judicial proceeding is more of a trial than a public hearing. The applicant or the appellant, if he's appealing a decision or applying for a variance, is sworn in as our members of the staff that will present a summary to the board. They're sworn in. So witnesses are sworn, testimony is taken, the witnesses are examined and cross-examined, certainly by the board, but also by the parties, if they are so inclined. And to win an appeal or to obtain a variance, the burden is on the appellant or the applicant to do so through substantial material and competent evidence. And I'll give you a good example of some of that. Red button matters. Somebody wants to put a campground across the street from where you live. You don't want that. It comes up in front of council. And there's one more quasi-judicial proceeding, which is a special use permit, but I believe in our town, council handles that. Yes. So imagine you're across the street from a proposed campground, council's entertaining the granting of a special use permit for that. You're real concerned about your property values going down. So you come in and all your neighbors come in and you say, don't do it, it's going to destroy my property values. Under the law, that evidence is incompetent. And most people don't realize that, but it's in the statute. Mm-hmm. And it's in the case law to make that point, which might actually win the day for you in opposing the proposed special use permit. You need to hire an appraiser and have them come in and be tendered, qualified and tendered as an expert, giving expert opinion on property values. Likewise, traffic. You can bitch and moan all you want about the impact of a use on the traffic, but unless you hire a traffic engineer and do a TIA, a traffic impact analysis, your testimony regarding the adverse impact of traffic is not competent. Now, in the real world, such incompetent evidence sometimes has a very meaningful impact on boards of adjustment that don't take their, that don't perform in the technical legal sense that they're supposed to. I've seen plenty of lay opinions about traffic impact affecting or serving as a basis for a decision, and but it's wrong to do that. And it's important to realize that decisions made by this board are directly appealable to the Superior Court of New Hanover County, which sits like the Court of Appeals and reviews the record. So there's a risk there. If you entertain incompetent evidence like getting up and complaining about the traffic without an expert opinion, getting up and complaining about property values without an expert opinion, and this board decides the case based on that incompetent evidence, if the applicant or the appellant is well-versed and well-counseled and has the funds to do it, they can appeal that decision to the court. And the court, if it applies the law correctly, would say, yeah, you're right, that evidence was incompetent, we're going to strike that decision. And it doesn't come back to you all. The court will decide whether he gets his special use permit or not. You've lost your opportunity. So that's nothing but legal fees and an about face, and that's where you don't want to go.
Has anyone, whenever you have had appeals or come to you, you know, for a variance or whatever, has anyone ever tried to appeal to New Hanover County?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I've been involved in several. So mm-hmm. it's not a theoretical concept.
That's what I was wondering. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's real. Happens all the time. So you can take some pride in doing, and also too, another reason why training is important to keep those concepts that I've just discussed and other concepts in mind is because during the course of the hearing, unlike my role with an advisory body like PCC, I can't be as active with a decision-making body. I can't say, Chairman Humphreys, this, this, and this. I can only help guide him indirectly. Well, Chairman Humphreys, that's a good point. You may want to ask this, but I can't tell him the answer I don't want to be sworn in as a witness if I want to continue
to
representing it and also represent you all if you end up in court. So my role is quite limited. Now, I've been with boards of adjustments that were tried real hard but just didn't get it. And then I had to lead them to the finish line, not by asking questions, but by being a fairly aggressive facilitator in the course of the hearing. You know, usually I prepare a worksheet. There's certain elements that you have to meet. There's certain questions that you have to meet. The things that, in a court of law, in a civil matter, if I try a case, the judgment consists of findings of fact, conclusions of law, and a judgment. And those things are difficult to draft. When you all make a decision, it's the same thing. You have to make findings and you have to write down in the decision the material, competent, substantial evidence that supports those. And you take those findings and you take that evidence and you reach a conclusion, and based on that conclusion, you make a decision. Now, when it's all over, I do all that legal drafting. But I have to be able to work from a template that is correct to begin with that comes out of the hearing. So I usually have a worksheet that has the issues on it, and if I'm facilitating, we basically say, and it has to be done in the open, you can't retire to the back room and do it.
And so they'll sit and have discussions.
And I'll say, on this issue, what's the consensus? What evidence did you hear that supported it? And then we'll just go down the checklist, and then I'll say, well, here's what you found. What is your conclusion? Does the appellant prevail or not? And then make the decision. So it's a whole lot of stuff, and that's why I think that sending it to you is one thing, but having it in front of us and having a give and take could be a lot more informative.
Fireplace House coming to the Appeals? Fireplace House?
No. The one with that was out of extra food or something, that one, that never had to come here?
No. Are you talking about the relaxation of encroachments or setbacks for the town's firehouse?
No, the
fireplace.
The fireplace.
But they didn't move into the house, and it was out, this was a couple years
ago. It's
back.
And 3rd.
I'm forgetting.
Did I come here?
I think they did a text amendment at the end of the day.
Yes, it came to us twice. And we rejected it both times.
And it was in court. It was right before my time. But I think at the end of all that, I think there was a text amendment that solved everything for everybody.
I believe so. And
allowed some sort of little encroachment.
Yes.
So that settled down.
But would you, so anyone can come to the hearing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's open.
It's open, so.
And now, it pretty much gets down to facts. What are we looking
it's
at?
It's not, but it's not like a public hearing where anybody can comment. You have to.
Have a reason for comment?
It's called standing. You may oppose that proposed use that somebody wants a special use permit for, but if you're not directly affected
2 miles down the road, I can't.
You don't have standing. Now, what a lot of public bodies do is say, well, you may or may not have standing. We'll let a court decide that. Go ahead and we'll entertain your comment. Because at the end of the day, you're just like the jury or a judge sitting, having a bench trial without a jury. You're going to weigh credibility. So you could let, for example, layman's opinions in regarding traffic and property, but to do it right, you might let it in, but when you're deliberating, you would give it the amount of credibility it is due, which by statute is 0. But you might you know, instead of rubbing people the wrong way, you could
let them talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are people that have come before us with, you know, 30 or 40 names on a petition, and we've taken it in and said yes, oh wonderful, yeah. But when it came down to that showing any kind of credibility for our decision making, it is zero. It was just being nice.
And again, you can't look to me and say, you know, is this credible evidence? And I would not answer that question, but I would give you some guidelines how you can answer that question. Mm-hmm. So, but you have to have the awareness to understand what I'm doing. And again, the awareness would at least, that's a minimal reason to have the training. Whether it sticks with you or not is not my doing. But I've at least planted the seed for that awareness through the training.
James, I think that it's a good idea to have another training session. I would welcome it as a refresher. Okay. To being now the chairman.
Being a new alternate, I
think. Oh, you definitely.
I would find it very useful.
You would.
Do we need to make a motion?
Well, let's see. Because...
Your schedule.
Well, I was going to say a couple of things.
Okay.
One of the things you need to do tonight, and I think it would come in under 6D, is we have to establish a regular meeting schedule. If you were the council of the PZC, you'd say every fourth Tuesday at 7 o'clock, and Kathleen would post it, and the only thing you'd have to worry about is canceling it if it was going to be canceled or if you met it at some other time to be a special meeting. So when you get down to 4D, you're going to have to establish a regular meeting schedule for 2019. And it could be, you know, the fourth Tuesday at whatever hour, provided there's something to hear, sort of what you did last time.
Mm-hmm.
That way, if you develop that schedule, then we could fit training into one of those fourth Tuesdays. And I'd get back with Kathleen on that. I don't have my schedule right now. Second half of March may work. I may have some daylight the fourth Tuesday in March. I have to check on that. But if you adopt that kind of a schedule, then something to be heard could be the training. We wouldn't have to do a special meeting notice and a special meeting agenda, and it saves Kathleen a little bit of time. So that would be my recommendation. Looks like Joe Whitley was trying to call me. Let me look at the...
This is 26th.
26th? That rings a bell for some reason. No, that's okay with me. I'm clear. You want to look at my calendar?
Well, I need to look at a calendar. I wouldn't be here, but maybe somebody else could come.
You're going
to
be off that on that time?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we push it? Because I know I'm...
Push it to April.
I would prefer if we could do it in April.
Fourth Tuesday would be the 23rd. I'm wide. I don't have anything on the calendar. You're going to be here in April?
Mm-hmm. I like that idea. And
why don't we make a motion to adopt the regular schedule for meetings, which I would say keep it the way it is, the fourth Tuesday. The
21st is Easter, and people travel the week after Easter. Easter's like that. I mean, 23rd is fine with me, but the 21st is Easter.
I think Chairman Humphreys is right. Let's take it one step at a time.
I don't know. That's going to come under 6D. That regular meeting, because I think Ann wanted to mention something about the time itself of the meeting. So, that you'll have the training during a regular meeting.
Yeah. Yes.
Sometime in the coming year. The date to be decided upon later? Or?
Can we do that, Jane?
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody, sure, you can, and we can pencil in April 23rd, but if we reach that consensus, then we've segued right into D, which we can discuss the regular meeting schedule and adopt that schedule thereafter. Because is there a meeting time that some...
That was, my question was going to be, I know it does sound silly, but this is very late for me.
Mm-hmm.
Time out.
We have a motion. Can we...
Yes.
Like, did we have a motion?
Harry was making one.
Let's make a... Well, I want to change that to...
I make a motion to have training on a regular scheduled meeting to be announced in the future.
Okay.
Got a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, now, the regular meeting will be on, you know, the fourth, I make a motion that the regular meeting be on the fourth Tuesday of every month. And let's just, fourth Tuesday of every month. A second?
I'll second it.
Anybody opposed? All in favor? Aye.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, the time. Ann, you want to discuss?
I was just going to ask, please, if we could make it earlier.
What time were you thinking about?
I was thinking 6 or 6:30.
6 makes it tough for me.
Yeah, okay. Say 6:30 works
for me. Yeah, 6 makes it tough for me as well. 6:30 I can live with.
But I don't want people to get rushed. I mean, 7 is actually fine. Half hour difference isn't going to matter.
Well, for me, you know, I typically get off work at 5,
mm-hmm.
but working for the government of the town of Carolina Beach, it sometimes doesn't work out that way. And there are times that I have to meet with officers out in the parking lot until 5:30, quarter to 6. So that doesn't give me time to get to my house and grab a bite to eat and get here.
Well,
so 6:30 would be, 6:30 would be okay.
I'd like to try to do 6:30. So I'd like to make a motion to please, when we do our regularly scheduled fourth Tuesday of every month, starting April 23rd, just start at 6:30 p.m. Although a.m.'s good for me, too.
No. No.
I'm game. I'm up. You want to start calling me? 4:30. That's when I'm awake.
That's when I'll get up.
All right, let's do it. No, 6:30.
You guys have fun.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm not
yeah.
off time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I
second.
Yeah. My dog will wake me up, and I'm not ready to do
it. Okay, he's seconding it. I'll give you my cell so you can call me in the morning.
Ann has made a motion that we meet on the fourth Tuesday of the month at 6:30. Randy has seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, our regular meeting will be the fourth Tuesday of every month at 6:30.
And that is provided there's something to be heard?
Provided there is something to be heard, yes.
You okay
so if there's
that?
Nothing to be heard, we don't meet
we don't
in
meet.
March.
Okay. Yeah, we don't meet.
Got it.
Ann lets us know if there's something. I mean, not Ann.
Kathleen.
Kathleen lets us know if there's
something. And then in April, we'll start doing little tidbits of training.
Okay.
So you're comfortable when we do have a case.
I think you could, I don't know that we need to be formal about it, I'll defer to Kathleen, but I think you all can, if you all want, April 23rd is a convenient date for me to conduct a training session during that regular meeting.
It's fine with me.
It's fine.
Are you going to be in town?
We're here.
Okay.
We're not going anywhere.
Okay.
Okay. The gang's all here then.
Good.
I'll bring donuts next time. At
6:30? 6:30. As long as they're not waking me.
No, they won't be. Okay, so thanks for doing that. So, anything else?
Does anybody have anything they want to discuss while we are talking about new business?
I don't.
Just a question, and it might not be just for my edification. If there are HOAs within a town, does the town's ordinances govern, or do the HOA's ordinances govern?
Depends on which one is.
If the HOA's ordinances.
It depends on which one's more restrictive. The more restrictive one controls at the end of the day in a court of law. But I mean, the HOAs can enforce theirs. But, for example, if you had a tree ordinance that's specified under the HOA.
Just use the fence ordinance, for example. Town has 6, HOA has
4. I don't
4.
Know how to interpret what's strict with respect to a height adjustment.
Like our HOA requires that fences be white.
Let's see, in that case...
Well, the town doesn't say what, but the HOA says they have to
be white. Well, then I think the HOA would control it.
Yeah,
you can keep it as...
But height, I'm not sure what's...
Height, I don't know how to interpret height differences in terms of what's stricter or what's not stricter.
You could say stricter is higher.
You could, but you could also say the
opposite. Stricter is also lower.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I think about, just as an example to put it in realistic terms, I think about the pool fence, and New Hanover County requires that pool fences are a certain height.
4 feet.
And also that the railings are a certain...
Right, the pickets width. Can be, right, yeah.
Yeah, and so New Hanover County requires a certain thing, and as I take care of the pool at my business, I'm required to do that, or they would shut my pool down. So, base it on an individual home does and is required to have a fence. They're not required by New Hanover County to be monitored because they're private as opposed to public. But the HOA might require that the fence is 5 feet.
But if the town says it can't be, well, I guess the town says it can be 5 feet, right?
Or, yeah, the HOA might say...
But you can't go 6 feet because no one allows 6 feet.
Correct.
No, five,
town
6 feet.
Town does allow 6 feet.
Oh, the town does
in
allow
the back,
6 feet. Back, but not, on the side, but not on the side.
No, 4 feet.
4 feet on the side, six feet on the back.
Whereas the pool is 3 feet.
That's right.
Well, then, how did they just build that fence of that new house in...
Which one?
There's, is it not Dow? Yeah, I think it is Dow, next to Myrtle.
Okay.
It's in Curry Beach?
It's in Curry Beach. It's the road north of, it's the first road north of, I think, Myrtle, back to the left, all the way down to the dead end. There's
Hanby. Hanby.
Oh, Hanby, the one in that corner back there that backs up
the
boat pool.
And it's got a 6 foot solid white fence.
All the way around.
All the way around the pool area.
It's in the rear yard. Oh, wait.
It's in the side yard.
If, no, but that property is really big. Mm-hmm. And so that's for if you're inside the setback. So they cleared the setback area on their own. In their own yard, they can have it 6 feet tall. Does that make sense?
Oh, so it's not this setback.
Oftentimes, fences run along the property line.
Mm-hmm.
But we have setbacks on our property.
Yeah, setback.
So if that pool was outside of the setback area, then it can be as tall as she wants.
Interesting, but if they were in an HOA and the HOA required a XYZ, then
no.
The right, if you're looking at that fence, the right side of it still has to be in setback because it's almost all the way over to the other property.
Are you sure? Because that's a very big piece of property.
No,
that's 85
understand.
Feet wide.
It's big, but
it's
the pool's to the
feet
side,
feet.
Right? Of the house.
I'm trying to remember the diagram, but
I'm
pretty sure.
It's my neighborhood. I haven't seen
it. I think it's a gorgeous fence because I was looking at it because we got let to think about adding one around our pool. That was what that was. I said, wow, look at that. It's good. But I thought, interesting.
As long as it's not on the property line and it sits back, then it can be as tall as you want it to be.
Unless your HOA says you can't.
Yeah.
Right.
Our HOA.
They don't have an HOA over at Hanby.
Oh,
up there.
Yeah, that's all single homes. Single family.
Another question just for my education. Town right-of-ways. Does the town own the right-of-way?
Yes.
Yeah.
You mean like that X amount of feet in front of your property?
Mm-hmm.
I think
so.
Right-of-ways.
I think you own it, but they have a right-of-way.
Yeah.
Right-of-ways is a very difficult, can be a very complicated, the definition of a right-of-way lends itself to complicated definitions. Typically, a right-of-way is, and our code now defines that. It's one of the things PZC did last year. A right-of-way is typically the unimproved portion, i.e. the unpaved part of a roadway. other words, you've got your road, and that's part of the right-of-way. That's the improved section of the right-of-way. But the 10, 20, 30 feet of dirt on either side, the right-of-way really goes from one edge to the other, and the road in the middle is the improved part of the right-of-way. So if that, and that's typically what a right-of-way is. And so if it's a state-maintained street, then the state owns that right-of-way. And that's the case when you go down 17 in Brunswick County. I think 30 feet on either side of the pavement is DOT. But for town streets, the town owns that right-of-way. And I guess the town streets, I guess the town owns most of the streets, except for maybe...
they don't own Dow.
Dow or Fort Fisher Boulevard.
That's right.
But everything
and
else.
And Water Road Court.
Oh, Fort Fisher State too.
Really?
It's private.
US 420.
Oh, it's private, yeah. And you could also have a see, you lay out a subdivision, you put right-of-ways in there. Typically, you're going to dedicate those right-of-ways to the town, and typically the town accepts them. Once they accept them, then they're town streets. But if you had a private development and you didn't dedicate those streets to the town, then that right-of-way typically would belong to the HOA. So the right-of-way can be, it just depends on who owns it.
So what takes jurisdiction in right-of-ways then?
The owner.
The town.
The town, does that take jurisdiction over an HOA?
I don't understand the question.
If it's private, it's private.
I live in Curry Beach Village, too. Okay. I know where you're going with that.
I'm just asking. We're running into a lot of that. You have Curry Beach Village, which has rules and regulations on, for example, a boat. A boat can't be parked in somebody's yard. Right. But can it be parked in the town right-of-way? Because the town owns the right-of-way and the yard isn't, unless the town owns
it. If you're looking at the new parking regulations, that you can't park a boat in the right-of-way.
Right.
The only thing you can park in the right-of-way is a passenger vehicle.
And Curry Beach Village bylaws say no parking in the right-of-way.
No. Well, see, Curry Beach Village says no parking in the right-of-way, but here again, does that take jurisdiction or does the town? Because it's the town's right-of-way. And can they say what they can do?
Yeah, the HOA.
Can the HOA say you can't park a passenger vehicle in the right-of-way?
But you can't put a boat.
Right. Well, no, back to the passenger vehicle. Does that take jurisdiction over the town?
I always think so. Yeah, because it's more restrictive. So.
Typically, the HOAs write their rules in accordance with the town laws and rules. And then, if they want to make it more restrictive, then they add more things in.
So that is an actual ordinance or rule, the more restrictive does...
Well, here's one commentator's phrasing of it. The courts have generally stated that a restrictive covenant cannot be abrogated by the ordinance. So in other words, if the ordinance is lesser, it does not trump the covenant because the law won't allow the covenant, which is stricter, to be undone by an ordinance.
That actually, also works out where state laws state one thing, but a town ordinance can be more restrictive than the state law.
I think parking's going to be real interesting this summer.
In at least three cases, the courts have said that the more restrictive of the land use controls governs. Let's see if one of those is a North Carolina case.
I can tell you, because I work for the police department for Carolina Beach, Carolina Beach is
one of those
literally
swooped
up all the right-of-ways and no parking, no parking.
Based on a 1956 North Carolina Supreme Court case, the more restrictive of the two land use controls governs, exactly what I said. If the covenant is more restrictive than the zoning ordinance, according to our state Supreme Court, the stricter covenant governs. So if the parking regs say you can park on the right-of-way, but the HOA says
you can't,
then I think you can't. But parking in this town.
But also the town won't enforce that.
Yeah, well.
So the HOA has to enforce it.
And
well, the town's starting to enforce parking on the street
to
in current village.
Yes.
But the question is, can you park in the grass then?
If it's your house, yes, you can.
Yeah,
but not in our association.
Unless
you get a majority to vote to have that rule change.
Yeah, no, I don't care. I'm all for it because I'm tired of seeing cars parked everywhere. I wasn't questioning to do it. I was more questioning it for people who can't. And that's people are saying, well, I can't park in the street, but I can park in the grass.
Yeah, if you're south of K or if you're not in an HOA.
You can actually park unless there's a covenant that restricts it. You can actually park in your front yard setback.
Unless the HOA prohibits it. Mm-hmm. But the town will let you do it.
Well, it's in the regulations. You can do it.
We have front setback.
Yeah, from your property line,
like
if you have
front
a 10,
yard.
If you have a 15-foot setback from the property line back towards the house,
mm-hmm.
you can't put anything in that front yard setback, but you can park it there.
Right. Yeah, most of your driveways have to be able to park.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can park.
Yeah,
but you can park next to the driveway is what I'm saying.
In my yard.
Yeah, like I own a lot next to my house, and that's where I park all the cars.
Yeah.
You can park on the grass.
Cars?
In the front yard setback.
Cars.
Yeah.
How many stickers do you have? How many? Okay, we'll check. We'll do a drive-by.
My police car doesn't have stickers.
Oh, right.
I wasn't trying to keep the meeting, but I was just asking that.
No, that's good. Questions are always good.
Question.
Yeah. Very valid.
And that's probably the main thing that PZC did this year was rewrite the parking regulation.
Oh, yeah.
Yours truly.
Because I just see that, back to what you said, I see that being a contention with
people. Parking in this town will never be resolved 100% to everybody's satisfaction.
In no town is it going to be resolved.
No, in no
Bristol
town.
Beach is changing theirs now, and people are going to get upset.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what else PZC did this year. Parking was the main thing.
And I know they have a meeting coming up regarding the business.
Well, they're getting ready to, and it's something you all might want to attend.
Interested.
They're going to start the process of developing with public interest. One of the other things PZC is trying to do is develop an overlay district that they'll take to the council to act on. It's going to be a several month project. I think the first date.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, wait, no. I'll turn that down. That was someone from my HOA.
an overlay project.
Overlay district for basically part of the B1 or all the B1. I'm not that familiar with
it. They haven't
the
decided if they're even going to confine it to B1 mm-hmm. or expand.
To try to keep the beachfront atmosphere like it is. But
they're
going
to try to do?
Develop an overlay district, which is more, it's a set of more restrictive regulations on top of a zoning district's regulations for the
And what will that achieve?
Control over how that district develops over time. They're trying to preserve the current beachfront atmosphere without, they don't want high rises to come in or fast foods to come in. See, if you have a district and you have a by right use of a restaurant, unless you have some other controls, any restaurant can come in, a Waffle House, a McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Then they don't have to jump through any hoops. If the table of uses says that in the B1 district you can have a restaurant, and if you don't have a definition that distinguishes a restaurant from a fast food restaurant, then McDonald's can come in and set up the Golden Arches right in B1.
So like the Curry Beach Diner right there in the corner, sold out and
yeah.
whatever could
yeah.
As long as they fit the parking and the
yeah, all that if they jump through those hoops.
Right.
But a better way to control that if you like that part of town and you want to see that part of town kept small town atmosphere for decades to come, then you develop an overlay district, which is where you take a more detailed set of regulations, which could include for commercial buildings, exterior design element requirements, like you have to clad it in shingles, for example. Mm-hmm. And you can develop a whole set of very detailed regulations, and it's called an overlay because you put it on top of the existing district. And one of the more predominant ways that you control what comes in there is you say, okay, well, you can have a use like a restaurant, but only by a special use permit, not by a by right permit. When you look at a table of uses, by rights are anything. If you look at your code, you go to the different districts and it'll say permitted uses. And those are by rights. But if it, that means that anybody can come in and put that use in there, and the only thing they have to get from the town is a certificate of zoning compliance for all the little things they have to worry about. But if you look at those regulations and you see that there's an S next to it, then that use cannot be put into that district until and unless the city town council grants a special use permit. So a lot of overlay districts, not only do they have aesthetic requirements that you have to meet, but they'll say, sure, you can put these uses in there, but only by special use permit. That way council can control. McDonald's just can't come in, but somebody coming in saying, hey, we want to put a family diner in there. We don't have any problem with your exterior design requirements. And council says, okay, well, come on in. We'll do a special use permit, and we'll see if you're entitled to it. And on a special use permit, you can act the council. I think you can do it for variances too. You all can do this for variances. Council can do it for special use permit. You can actually impose additional conditions as long as they're related to the use and as long as they're reasonable. You have the discretionary authority to require additional conditions that the zoning ordinance may not even have thought of. So that's another reason why it's good to have that training. But that's what an overlay district does. It controls better what goes in there. And they're considering the process for the roughly the B1 district will kick off by PZC beginning to solicit public input on a special meeting for March 20th starting at 6 o'clock. So if you want to stay I know it's pushing your bedtime, but if you want to stay a little abreast of your of what PZCs are going to be involved in for the next 3 or 4 months, that'd be a good meeting to attend.
Okay. The business district is where my property is, I know. And isn't it two, three blocks, K Avenue?
Oh, I don't have that map.
Down to south. Well, that's okay. I can look it up.
Yeah, you can. Don't worry. I'm not that familiar with your all's districts, to tell you the truth. I'm familiar with them in the code, but I don't think I've even looked at a zoning map.
I think you're a B2, though.
Yeah. B2.
You might be B1. Because I think B1 is just one block north and one block south of K.
Then I'm in B1.
Were you on one block?
Yeah,
I thought you were in the second block.
She's
up.
She's in the first block.
Mm-mm. I'm an Eleanor Fisher.
Well, you might want to. You might want to.
Yeah,
I have it on my calendar. Believe it or not, I'm right now living there.
Downtowns have downtown overlays.
Yep.
I just didn't think we were there.
Okay. Anything else we can talk about? All right. Someone make a motion to adjourn.
I motion we adjourn.
I'll second.
All right. And second. All in favor, say aye. All
right.
Hi.
No, that was a good little meeting. Thank you.
That was good.
Thank you.
That's my baby.